did it! You're listening to Off Broadway on www.coachandsix.com. There is a few people here at the Moose Lodge now. How is Strap Hanger tonight?
Doing all right.
Okay, why don't...
You guys were very good, very good.
Why don't start things out? Why doesn't everybody... here's a microphone if you want to pass it around or whatever. And you can take the microphone out of any of our hands anytime you want.
And you can have beer, too, if anyone.
Yay.
Yeah, do you guys want a pin, too?
Yeah.
Yachting pin? Here's a pin for each of you. Yeah, these are the last pins for Yachting. Anyway, Strap Hanger, to start out, why don't you each give us your name and your position in the band. And address, yes. A P.O. box. Or no, a street address, and we know where you live.
My name is Isaac Turner, and I play drums. 3702 Berkeley Drive, number one.
Oh, and make sure you
zip code,
talk
please.
Good and close and loud into the mic, because these mics suck.
All right, sucky mic. My name is Jason Lay. I play guitar and I do vocals. My address is 601 and a half University.
All right, an actual.
And, I live above the Knights of Columbus,
nice.
Downtown Grand Forks.
Go KC.
They're gonna be open July 1st. Ooh. Anyway,
I'm Brian and I play bass and I live in 10 Downing Street.
No, he doesn't.
I can't believe you all just gave your address.
He's a liar.
That's great. Very great.
Yeah, Isaac, did you give your address?
Yeah,
I didn't hear you give. I wasn't paying proper attention.
He then asked me if I was serious, and I said no.
I'm sorry. So, you guys have been playing for a long time now. I mean, well, a fairly long time. I mean, how long have you been doing stuff in Grand Forks? Because Grand Forks tends to get forgotten,
the Fargo people?
Fargo people don't pay attention to it very much.
No, we've actually been playing for about 2.5 years now. And
you're lying. These are loud.
I'm a liar. And we've actually had, I don't want to say a warning about being able to play shows in Fargo or something like that, but we've never had a problem with any friends up here or anything. Everybody's always been so incredibly cool and nice to us. And I got to say, you guys were anti Chad James earlier. It was really funny, but he helped us out one time, so he was pretty.
Oh, well, it's all tongue in cheek.
Oh,
no one's really
so.
Anti Chad James.
Oh, yeah.
It's tongue in cheek, but you had that fucking voodoo doll. You were pinned.
Speak for yourself,
so.
Phil.
Well, yeah, Phil really, really, really.
I can't stand the guy. Fucking bald freak.
Oh, let's move in a little
closer. I should just stay home.
But, so what's going on with the Cosmos lately? Is there still shows going on there?
There's shows there. I don't know how often the Strap Hanger will be playing there. That'd be kind of up to Isaac. He's a little upset at them, so.
Oh, really?
They've had a lot of problems with.
Oh, okay. Here's another microphone for you.
They've had a lot of problems with the police, actually. So really, it's not their fault, but this noise ordinance,
haters.
The haters are out after them all the time, so.
What's going on with that? Are they just like...
There's a lot of problems. They're in the downtown area, and there's certain individuals who live above Cosmos who were warned well in advance of the loud noise and stuff and have raised a big hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo?
Hullabaloo. And one of these individuals actually wrote a 17-page letter, with 17 pages?
Yes.
To this immigrant who runs the place, this Russian immigrant who runs the place, and she was swearing and going hell-bent for leather in this 17-page letter to him, telling him how loud it is and stuff like that, and just completely misses the point, in my opinion. So
they've been having a lot of problems, needless to say. So, I don't know, the Midnight Evils played there, and the police came and made them shut it down.
I heard about that.
And which is too bad, because those guys rock. But
Brian?
Yeah.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm pretty good.
You've got a microphone in your hand. You should use it.
It's already on. You don't have to turn it on. You're looking at it kind of funny. Just put it to your mouth and talk.
We should take this opportunity to promote a show that's going to be in Grand Forks on the 12th of July.
Yeah.
Don Caballero is coming to Grand Forks. Those of you who are interested in
touch and go artist.
So check him out.
Touch and go artist Don Caballero.
What
Burns never returns.
They
played
at Ralph's a couple of years ago, I think.
I think.
It was Don Caballero? Or was it...
you'd remember, Phil.
It was, I think they came with the Thrones, actually.
That could be.
No, wait. It wasn't Don Caballero. It was someone else.
Was it Don Quixote?
Yeah, Don Quixote. It was something on Touch and Go, but it wasn't Don Caballero, I think.
What a blonde redhead.
Blonde redhead, that's it.
Oh, there we go.
I knew that. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. But has Strap Hanger gone on tour anytime in the recent years or month?
Yeah, we did. We did a small tour for our spring break while Brian and I were in college. And
Jason's not in college. Sorry, Mom.
Jason has a real job. And Brian and I were in college, and we did a little Midwestern-type jaunt for spring break and had a lot of fun. The kids in Oshkosh, Wisconsin were really cool.
Oshkosh. Go to Oshkosh. Trust us on this one. Talk to Aaron.
So the Grand Forks scene is kind of a little bit incestuous, you know. There's a lot of member swapping that goes around.
That's Isaac's
fault. It's just two bands that do that.
Well, yeah. I know you're in, like, you know, Emaplex G and are you in any other bands? I mean, you kind of get around when it comes to bands.
He's a drum slut.
Isaac is actually, he plays drums for Carl Jung MC as well.
Oh, Carl Jung MC, the almost now defunct Carl Jung MC. But there's also another band I'm playing with right now that is, and I'm very proud to say this, a jam band.
A jam band?
Yeah.
Isaac's growing his hair out and he's going to start wearing patchouli.
Yeah. It's a bunch of patchouli-soaked, dread-headed caucasoids, and we sit around and hit on bongos and play acoustic guitars. And I'm serious, I play drums with them, and you're going too fast, you play too loud. So it's really a lot of fun for me to, like, tone down a little bit.
You have
so.
To be quiet?
Oh, it freaking sucks, yes, but I do have to be quiet, and it's
he
a lot of fun for
he
me.
Does it so well, you know.
My question was answered.
So, like, whenever anybody starts a band and they need a drummer, they just call you?
Now that Pete Swally moved away, yeah, that's the case. This other fat, balding drummer from Grand Forks.
No, oh, God, no.
What else is going on? You guys have also done. I mean, Grand Forks is a pretty industrious little scene. I mean, you guys have also put out a CD or two, correct?
We did a split disc with Emaplex G.
Okay.
So we made how many did we make? 100.
About 100 copies.
We made 100 of them, and we sold them all out, which is really cool. So we have a lot of friends. So they felt obligated. No,
they use them as coasters. They use them as like beer coasters, but they bought them. So
well, we also
four
ran
bucks.
The comp. We had a couple comp things come out too. This
fresh cow pie.
Yes, fresh cow pie. Right on. Which you were on actually.
Yeah.
Your
yep.
Track rules, by the way. The mighty.
Mighty. And then from that fresh cow pie thing, we were very fortunate enough to meet an individual by the name of Ian Thomas from Kansas City who runs a record label called Mental Telemetry Records, and he asked us if we would like to put something on that, and he's been very, very helpful.
Oh, really?
And nice with us. And
what are you thinking of doing with them?
We're going to do a 7-inch record, probably, hopefully by, we're, he you know, he has a very small record label, and he's doing a, he did a Mitch Mitchell's Terrifying Experience record, and he's doing a Roy Montgomery record. Roy Montgomery one I'm looking forward to hearing, too. If it's still in the works, and then we hope by Christmas time or something we'll have something with him. So.
That's impressive.
He's a nice individual.
You're up in the big leagues now.
No.
We recorded the stuff for it probably last weekend, 2 weekends ago.
Yeah, we just recorded with Jeremy Swisher.
And
who is an equally nice individual.
Yeah.
The legendary Enola Gay drummer.
Yes.
And
Soliday.
And
Lunar, what, Valence?
Liberty Valance.
Liberty Valance.
Liberty Valance.
There's like four different names for that band.
Yeah. I watched him in the Enola Gays a couple months ago, I think, and I was like, that guy can make drumming look like
Like he was ringing a bell?
Like he's ringing
a bell? Yeah, like he's ringing a bell.
Well, he's got that thing over there. It's almost like a bell.
It's almost like he's breathing, and it just happens to make tons of really, really crazy noise.
Yeah. He's a phenomenal musician.
It looks so easy.
He's amazing. We are
constantly
impressed.
I was just basically focused on him the whole night, watching him drum, because he's like just weird.
As attractive as Mike is, you just gotta look at Jeremy.
And he's equally good at recording. He's equally good at capturing music and putting it onto magnetic tape. He's very, very good at that too. So we were very fortunate to work with him.
He's a budding young producer talent in Grand Forks.
Engineer.
Okay.
And just a nice dude.
He's not a producer. He's not one of those guys who's brings a bunch of coke to the recording session and.
You and Roger Hastings are down with something with all the coke floating around.
I'm going to take over for a second here. I was going to say, Jason, I really like your T-shirt. Speaking of coke, I guess I was going to say, what's the significance behind this? I should tell you, it's
actually
a woman, girl.
It's more like a mom type.
Girl, yeah,
it looks like a mom.
Could be a mom type. She's got breasts.
You,
so
Dad, I learned it from watching
woman.
You.
Snorting what could be ants or cocaine. Yeah.
Actually, my father's explanation to my mother about this shit was, well, she's a secretary and she's just writing notes.
Okay.
That's not true. You get those anti-drug pamphlets at school, in high schools and stuff like that. So I had it still screened on. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it's very funny. Very funny.
Really, yeah.
I'm going to turn this back on
Thank
over
you.
To Phil. Yeah, you're welcome.
You could probably sell those in the back of Rolling Stone.
I probably could.
Copyright laws involved there. But
don't get me started.
Well, go. I don't mind getting you started. Go ahead. Go
Is
ahead.
That a sore spot?
Just, and while we're here and talking, how much did it cost you guys in gas to fill up your tank to get down here?
$26.50.
That really? That's not that. Well, I mean, that's bad.
I was on a quarter of a tank.
So you had a little.
I drive a 76 Scout International. It gets about probably, if we got 10 miles to the gallon on the way here, we were doing really good. So
beautiful, beautiful. So anyone that can hear us right now, put your money in that tip jar up there, please. Gas is out of control.
Speaking of tip jars, how'd the Foil in the Works show go, Libby?
The Foil in the Works show went very well. They got some money. Sean got naked, very naked.
Yeah. I was there, but I had to leave, and I got a speeding ticket on the way home.
Phil got a speeding ticket on the way home. If you didn't hear that, you did.
Sorry, Phil. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Oh, it'll be on Yahtzee.
I wrote all about it.
Okay, if you didn't hear him, he'll do that. Yeah, Foil in the Works show went very well. They all made some money. Sean got naked at Lowerman's, which is very good, very nice to see. But yeah, it was good. Good show. Thanks to anyone who came there that's listening. These guys are going to be getting naked when they play again, right?
This
is going to happen.
Brian definitely will.
Okay, good.
I wanted to mention
that's
something
why I'm here.
About Brian's weight problem, too. We want to have an intervention right now.
Yeah, Brian, you're too fat, man. I'm sorry to be the guy to tell you this, but you're going to have to start doing some sit-ups or something, man.
I didn't beat anorexia.
There's this guy. All right, this needs a little explanation. There's this cat that goes to UND, and he is easily 350 pounds. Really nice, big dude. And he has this terrible, offensive shirt that says, "I beat anorexia" on it. And
it's
the first time I saw it, I laughed,
beautiful.
And I was thinking, you know, that's really, really kind of mean, but we still laugh, so.
We laugh, ha ha.
It's, you know, it's a little tasteless, but I can see the humor in it.
Us too.
Goes right along with Grove's "I've had 21 abortions" T-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh no.
That's a lot.
No.
If I could talk about abortions for a minute, there's a.
Bring it on.
Yeah, no, there was this. I watched. I don't know. I feel a little unsaid how I completely feel about the film, but I watched a DVD version of Fight Club the other day, and on there they show extra scenes.
Where does abortions come into play?
Well, in one of the scenes, you know, the female lead and the male lead, Brad Pitt and Helena Bonham Carter. consummate their relationship. And, you know, in the movie she says, "I haven't been blanked like that since grade school." And then the scene that they cut out, she says, "I want to have your abortion." And I don't know. I think that that's less offensive than "I haven't been fucked like that since grade school." But cut it out. So.
I've never seen Fight Club, actually.
It's a decent flick. It's not bad. It's different.
Super ultra.
I've actually been really bad about like watching any movies lately.
American movie.
The last movie I probably watched. I've rented a couple of movies since then, but I was going to say that The Monster and the Stripper was the last movie I watched.
You're a dirty Frenchman.
It's an old 60s movie that involves like a swamp monster and a strip joint. Exactly, it is. I think that's the subtitle of it. It's just
Heather Locklear in parentheses.
Yeah. The parenthetical title.
In case, you know, for everyone who can't see this.
I saw that. He gave a nice, like, when you wave your hands like you're outlining the female figure is what I got out of that.
No, that was a parenthesis.
Yeah, good job, Brian.
Yeah. Way to go.
You sexist fuck.
We're going to look like a bunch of assholes now. It's always the bass player. Always.
It is always the bass player, yeah, basically.
And he's fat, too.
Yeah, he is. He is
fatty.
Huge.
Big like Tad Doyle big.
Oh, no.
Lemmy?
Lemmy said, what are you talking about?
There's probably not a lot of people anymore who even know who Tad Doyle is, you know?
And that's a shame, Phil.
Probably.
I mean, he's been out of the whole thing since
Inhaler.
Yeah, well, probably even before that because nobody even bought Inhaler.
Oh no, that's a lie. Everybody bought it because it was the BMG pick of the month.
And then it ended up in the used bins at Disc and Tape.
Everywhere.
But yeah, and actually, for a long time, Disc and Tape, I worked there for a while, and they had Inhaler. Like, on discounted vinyl, it was probably like $5.
It came up
still nobody bought it.
They transferred, and the manager, the Disc and Tape in Grand Forks, and they transferred it up there, and we still have it. It is still there.
Isaac, I wouldn't picture you as a manager type.
Oh, I'm really terrible at it. I'm really very bad at it. Oh,
you
mind if we get drunk in the back?
Tape?
Yeah, go ahead, get drunk. So.
You manage Disc and Tape?
I do, yes.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, no congratulations needed for that.
So, you know, how are they doing for business wise? You know, you care to divulge it?
We do okay.
Yeah,
Grand all
right.
So.
You making money?
Been selling a lot of that Eminem record, you know, for all the homies, keeping it real out on the mean streets of GF. That's a little shout out to my homeboy, Jason Schaefer. What's up?
The whitest man alive.
Whitey.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been selling droves and droves of that new Eminem record, and I listened to it. A kid who works at the store listened to it, and I don't much get too wrapped up in morals and music. You know, doesn't bother me. I don't have much Kip or Gore in me, but it is the most morally devoid thing I've ever encountered in my entire life. Like, it is worse than any it's worse than a snuff film. Even I can't even
elaborate.
Oh, there's just the most offensive things about him with his mother and him killing his wife and things like that. And then there's tons of homophobic stuff on there, like, all across the board. It's really, really rude and terrible.
I've read some stuff about how... Why, hello, Libby.
I don't know.
Anyway, I've read some stuff, like, criticizing, like, critics for giving Eminem a free ride, you know, in that respect. Like, his lyrics are pretty, you know, if you know, Screwdriver... you know, released another album or something,
right.
You know, the critics would, you know, that thing would be, like, radioactive to them.
Right.
But Eminem, everybody's, like, screaming for more, you know?
Well, but as they should be with Screwdriver, I just must say right now, however, I haven't heard this Eminem business.
Well, you know, I haven't actually listened to the album, so I shouldn't, I mean, I'm not very educated on it, but the stuff I, like, you know, the quotes of his lyrics and stuff, you know, he's pretty, you know, he probably crosses the line, you know, a little bit, you know.
I think very much so. And if you remember, in 1996, A Tribe Called Quest came out with the record, and Q-Tip said, one word that was homophobic. You know, he said the word faggot. And he literally heard about it. He still hears about it to this day. They don't let that go. And that word and any other variation on that word is all over the record, and it's really, really... I mean, again, maybe I don't get offended by it too much because I don't take him seriously. I don't think he has much of a brain, but it really is a bothersome album, I think. You know, and I think because of the issue you raise, you know, how do you treat it? You know.
Yeah, I think it's bad because people think that they don't understand. They listen to a beat and they listen to all these words and they don't even know what they're listening to. They can see all these
exactly
homeboys
that's
cruising around and they're all bumping Eminem. You hear this, you know, this, that, and the other thing about gay people, and it's like. Do you even know what you're listening to? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
And I think that many people don't until Eminem's the marketable boy, so they'll support it till the end.
So now that we're done waving our rainbow flag, but anyway.
And yeah, very proudly.
Yeah, proudly.
Very good, very good.
Proudly.
Definitely. Because, I didn't know that about Eminem. I actually, I've never defended Eminem, but, you know, he's always kind of made me laugh a tad. But I have heard nothing of what we are talking about now. And show one.
Listen to the new album and you'll see.
Are you guys gay or something?
Completely 100%. 110%, actually 10%.
What are you doing after the show? So.
Arm wrestling.
He's 90% fat, 10% gay.
Phil, aren't you bi curious?
Oh yeah.
Phil's bi experienced, not bi curious.
Oh,
hey. Oh, ow. Oh.
So, are you guys going to play another set?
Yeah, we're
going to
go.
A few more songs.
We're going to go rock and roll.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. I thought I saw. Yeah, he gave us the five, so I thought it was about time to wrap it up here. But, all right. Anyway.
Can we thank him right now?
Yeah, you can thank Roger.
He's been brutally cool to us. Like, since day one we met him, he's just been brutally honest and cool to us, so he's a very nice guy. And he's a very good writer, too, on email. I love his emails. They're hilarious. So.
Well,
thanks, Roger.
Roger's little...
where is
little,
Roger?
Little show is playing host to Strap Hanger of Grand Forks fame and worldwide Midwest tour fame. and
we're in Iowa.
And they're going to play another set for us on Off-Broadway. So, Phil and Libby, if you care to add to that, I'm going to back away from the microphone.
Tell them that we're going to switch CDs.
Okay. Libby, you want to tell them that they're going to switch CDs with Phil?
Switch CDs.
I'm done talking.
We're going to switch CDs, so hold on.
You know, I don't really know what that meant.
I don't either.
You know,
that must be some... radio talk.
That must be.
That's some really technical radio
we're up
talk.
A little rock and roll. Oh, we got 1 minute left?
1 minute.
There's another minute.
Oh, man.
With Rox, that means about 5 minutes,
though.
Phil
doesn't need to talk anymore. He's poor guy's been going strong for... Phil, I'm sorry, number two.
Well, I can pick up one of these little mics now.
Right.
One of these stinky little mics.
These little
this one doesn't stink at all. I've
these little mics make me and Phil feel better.
I have something funny to say. It's not really funny. I probably shouldn't say it. But as far as stinky mics go, at some show that we played with a couple of bands in Green Bay, this guy got up and scrubbed his microphone with a toothbrush and some disinfectant before he'd sing on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it cracked me up.
Wow. You know, I've seen that. I've seen like people spray them with Lysol and stuff, but I've never seen people like.
If you're, you know, I think it's ridiculous. If you're like a, however this may sound, if you're a stripper dancing on a pole, I say disinfect. If it's a microphone,
well, yeah.
I say there's no need.
Yeah.
You probably missed that whole thing. I think you did.
Well, yeah, people are trying to talk to
it
me.
It doesn't matter. Whoever.
Well, anyway, yeah.
Stripper
well,
on a pole,
no
blah, blah, blah,
disinfect.
Disinfect
your microphone. You're, you know.
No, there isn't.
If you